loves the Lord. Say amen. Thank God I was born in the fire and the smoke will not do. I bless the Lord for it. Thank God for it. Before I announce my text and give our full attention to the Word of God, I want to thank God for three things tonight. I want to thank God for Brother Charles Lawson. Amen. You're not going to go wrong honoring God's man. And I thank God for this man and his wife and the years that he's preached and the years that he's been here. Thank God for him. And I want to thank God for my wife and babies being here. And I made some of these grannies mad one time, told them that my babies was the prettiest ones. And so what we've done to decide that mine's the prettiest in Georgia and y'all going to have the prettiest in Tennessee. But I want my wife to stand and my children. And I want them to walk down here. Now, she'll get on me later for this. Sister Lawson, you may have to help me. Y'all just walk down here to the front. I want you to see what the Lord's blessed. This church has helped us through the years. And I want you to see our babies. And thank God for it. All right, thank you. You can go back. I just wanted you to see they was the prettiest babies in Georgia. And quite possibly Tennessee. And then I need to thank the Lord for one more thing. Did everybody hear that fella from Alabama? I think he said he never heard Brother Lawson preach, but he heard me on the internet. Something like that. Don't change it. Don't amend it. Just leave it like I heard. I thought I heard what. Just leave it alone. And so that's great right there. They may listen to you in Thailand, but they listen to me in Alabama, see, Brother Lawson. And so, now if I get that wrong, don't you change nothing. Leave it alone. You had to have been here yesterday and the other time I was here to understand that. The 18th Psalm. The 18th Psalm. Let's stand. Our Lord and our Father, thank you for Calvary. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. And our God, I pray that you'd breathe on us right out of heaven tonight in the Holy Ghost and the throne room. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'll actually let you be seated because I get all tangled up in my text and forget that you're out there. The 18th Psalm. I want to preach a little while with the help of God tonight on David's divine deliverance. Would you look in the last part of verse 19? The 18th Psalm. And looky here. And if you happen to have a happy bubble while I'm reading the text, it's all right to pop it. Because I'm feeling pretty good about it tonight myself. In verse 19, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. I need somebody to help me right there. He didn't deliver you because you was worth fooling with. He delivered you because he delighted in you. He didn't deliver you because you earned it somehow. He delivered you because he delighted in you. He delivered me because he delighted in me. Now there's about seven times in this psalm where he mentions deliverance. And so let's just touch these and look at them. And then we're going to look at the enemy that tried to kill David. So in verse 1 of chapter of the 18th psalm, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. All right, y'all need to help me right there. About seven of you believe in praising God. Let's try to help it a little bit right there. Who is worthy to be praised? So shall I be saved from my enemies. And so we're going to read on there. He said in verse 4, the sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. And then verse 5, the sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. Now David was in a hard and a low place. In verse 6, in my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. Y'all ain't helping me. He heard my voice out of His temple. And my cry came before Him, even into His ears. And I want you to look what happens when God gets up to come help His youngins. Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because He was wroth. There went up a smoke out of His nostrils, and fire out of His mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by. He bowed the heavens also. Is that not helping anybody? That God hears youngins and shake the very foundations of the earth and move all three heavens according to this right here. And came down. Darkness was under His feet, and He rode upon a cherub and did fly. I like that cherub business right there. When Ezekiel saw Him, he was riding on four of them. And they were toting Him on His throne. Y'all ain't helping me. Yea, He did fly upon the wings of the wind. Well, I just needed you to see how that. And try verse 16 again. He sent from above. He took me. He drew me out of many waters. Here it comes. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them which hated me, for they were too strong for me. I got some enemies too strong for me, but God's too strong for them. Here's a third mention in verse 19. He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because He delighted in me. And in verse 29, it's just too good to skip. For by Thee I have run through a troop, and by my God have I leaped over a wall. I like verse 33. He maketh my feet like hinds' feet, and setteth me up upon my high places. Just came back from Colorado about 3 weeks ago and seen two bighorn sheep up on a razor edge rock. And one was a walking and one was a laying. I'm glad God can set me up like hinds' feet, where I not fall, not slip. Verse 36, Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet did not slip. Verse 43 is the fourth mention of deliverance. Thou hast delivered me from the strivings of the people. What about that? Verse 48 is the fifth mention. He delivereth me from enemies, from mine enemies. Yea, Thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me, number six, from the violent man. And then I like how He caps it off. In verse 50. Two words. And if it don't help you real good, I'm throwing a hardback songbook at somebody. Amen. And so verse 50. Two words. And I expect you. I know most of you is white, but you don't have to act so white. Amen. You can help me a little bit right here. Great deliverance. I'm going to say this. I should have been in hell right now with my back broke twice. But God's delivered me. He's brought deliverance to me in days gone by. I bless the Lord. Hey! It's last Thursday next month to be 33 years ago that He came to me, called me, filled me, anointed me, invaded my little heart and filled me with all the God of all the glory. Be 33 years ago. I need some help right there. And my enemy has tried to kill me through the years. But there's been great deliverance. I'm giving you a chance to praise God for it before I get into the meat of the message. I said, great deliverance He's brought unto me. And I thank the Lord for it. I walked through David's life and I found 10 enemies. I'm sure there's more, but these are the ones the Holy Ghost highlighted for me. I found 10 enemies. I'm going to put them in three phases of David's life. I want to talk about the enemy that tried to kill him in his beginnings. Then I'm going to talk about the enemy that tried to kill him in his battles. He was a shepherd boy to begin with. And then he was a soldier boy. And then thirdly, I'll try to talk tonight with the help of God about the enemy that tried to kill him in his blessings. When he was living out those 40 years of reigning as a king, God's blessing upon him. And he was a shepherd boy, and then he was a soldier man, and then he was the sovereign king. And I know there's a lot more to David's life than that, but for our message tonight, we'll wrap it up like that. And I just, what I'm going to do is pop some happy bubbles in here and give God the glory for the fact that the enemy ain't killed me yet. And I got a feeling they ain't going to be able to. Y'all need to help me now. And there's the enemy that tried to kill him in his beginnings. And so let's start there. And we'll trust the Lord to give us the stories and illustrations and scriptures that would help somebody's heart tonight. And so number one, there is the enemy that tried to kill him in his beginnings. I'm not going to be much of an expository preacher tonight, even though we will work chronologically through the scriptures and through his years. But I'm not going to take you down into the scriptures. We're going to hit the highlights because I'd like to mention all 10. And if we got to digging too deep, we'd hit water and stay at one well. And I'm going to let you dig your own well after we leave out of here tonight. And I may get a lap in. I may get me a lap in tonight. That means I may run around this building tonight, is what that means. Amen. Because God's delivered me. Woo! Yes, He has. And so let's look quickly at three enemies that tried to kill the little shepherd boy in his beginnings. If you do want to follow through the scriptures, it'll be 1 Samuel 17. And that's where David said, when David's down there to fight Goliath, and Saul was trying to give him his armor, and Big Brother was trying to give him his advice, but he didn't need armor and he didn't need advice because he had anointing. I almost ran right there. And I want to say that he said, go ahead and look at it there. You might want to. I don't know. Hey, he said, first there came a lion. Amen. I'm in 1 Samuel 17, 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. Now, I've told myself to run right through these 10. But my schizophrenia's kicked in and I'm against me right now. I'm talking to me. Amen. And I want to stop and thank God for all the shepherds. I said I want to stop and thank God for the shepherds. Thy servant kept his father's sheep. Amen. Oh, thank God. When Jesus was born in a barn in Bethlehem, who did God show it to? He showed it to the shepherds. I need to get some help right here. And who do you think He shows heavenly things to? And who does He show Jesus to? He shows them to the shepherds. And the shepherds say, let us now go down into Bethlehem and tell everybody what we've seen. Thank God for preachers. Ain't you glad that God calls some shepherds and shows them Jesus? And shepherds say, let us now go and tell everybody else about the Son of God. Y'all ain't helping me. Thank God for that.
Let us now go. Ain't you glad God's called some shepherds to go? These 10 boys, they're not wanting to move through too fast. I'm trying to usher them right through here. Thank God. I want to stop and say this. The only reason that David wasn't scared to fight that giant, David was the only one there that didn't think he was a giant. Everybody else said he's a giant and he's big. David didn't go down there. David didn't see nothing big down there. All Saul and all the army, all they had done was look at how big that giant was. But little David had been playing his harp and looking up in the heavens down there in them Judean hills. And he hadn't been looking at how big a giant was. He'd been looking at how big God was. And when he saw that giant, he didn't see a big thing. He done been looking at the biggest thing. Why, some of y'all can't get no victory. You're studying your giants instead of studying your God. You've been looking at how big God is. You'd laugh at your Jericho wall. You'd laugh at your lion's den. You'd laugh at your Red Sea crossing. And you'd tackle it wide open. All right. And there came, I'm in verse 34, and there came a lion and a bear. Anybody here ever thought, Brother Lawson, I never thunk this thought till last week looking at this, that they came together. It said there came a lion and a bear. They came together. About to run. About to run is what I'm about to do. And you say, well, no, I'm not sure they came out together. Look in verse 36. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. Could be that it happened at the same time. Now the lion, in verse 35, he said, and they took a lamb out of the flock. That's what the enemy's always wanting to do is get a lamb out of the flock. The enemy always comes to get one of these lambs out of the flock. The flock's the church. Thank God for the church. And the enemy always comes to get one of the lambs out of the flock. Now, verse 35, and I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. Must have been the lion. Must have been the lion. Caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. Did they come together? I mean, I don't know, but I'm leaning that way real strong. There came a lion and a bear, and he said, I slew both of them. Y'all ain't helping me. Now, here's a sermon I ain't studied yet. I studied with some preachers around our Bible camp last week, early in the morning, and one of them pointed out it ain't the only time the lion teamed up with somebody. What about Psalm 91? He said the lion and the adder. And then the young lion and the dragon. Y'all ain't helping me. Seem like they come in twos sometimes. Lion, I ain't ever known a lion and a bear to work together. I ain't never known a lion and an adder to work together. I ain't never known a young lion to work with a dragon. But honey, if you ever get somebody wanting to kill Jesus and God, the enemies will team up together. The Sadducees and the Pharisees were at odds until it came time to come against Jesus. Herod and Pilate were political foes until it came time to kill Jesus. Honey, you look at the religious enemies out there until it's time to kill Jesus. You show me people right in the very church body. They don't even like each other and hate, but when it comes time to attack the body of Christ, they'll team up. Y'all ain't helping me.
Bless him, Lord.
Did they come together? And see that lion, he stalks and he lays low in the grass. and he roars. Now that lion and the bear, they came to him in his work. Just give y'all a little food for thought. He was keeping the flock when they came against him. That lion and the adder, they probably came to him in his walk. Because that viper will strike you in the heel as you're going down by the way. Y'all ain't helping me. And then that young lion and that dragon, they attacked him in his war. Every time I find a dragon, it's when they're at war.
War. Amen, brother.
And I got news for you. We got to work. And the devil's going to come after our work. He'll be in the bushes and that bear will raise up on you. But that snake will come in low. That bear comes in high. That snake comes in low. And that dragon comes in fast. He's after us in our work. He's after us in our walk. And he's after us in the war. I need somebody to help me. Now, you young preachers, them two boys that sang so good, y'all ain't supposed to enjoy your own singing that good. They's enjoying the fire. They enjoyed it better than anybody. And if I was wearing neon yellow shoelaces, I'd shout it out too. Amen. Wubba! Amen. I like that. I seen you from over there. Oh, these boys are singing. You young men, go do me some words and them computer programs y'all got. Look up for me. All them pairings with the lion. Give it to me tomorrow night. And it'll be the next week's revival. After 45, can you start getting people to study for you, Pastor? Is that all right? I mean, I'm a young man, but these teenagers think I'm old. Oh, there came a lion and a bear. Now, I've spent too much time there, but that's that roaring. And here was my thoughts early on, the very first enemies on record of him ever facing. It was the two most fierce things that ever could come at you in nature came to kill him. And I need everybody to stop for just a moment. And I want you to have your little recess for thanking and praising God. On if you could think way back to early on.
Yeah. It's true.
Before you even ever got going.
Yeah.
Can anybody look way back yonder when the enemy tried to destroy you?
Yeah. Yeah.
The roaring of the lion and the wrath of the bear.
Yeah.
If the bear represents anything in the Scriptures, no, it represents Russia or whatever, but it represents wrath in nature. And that lion represents that roaring part of Satan, and that bear, that reeking wrath. And oh, can anybody go way back? You wasn't supposed to be here because the devil's trying to kill you. Y'all help me right there. Don't make me start telling stories now that I could way back in the beginning. But you're still here because of great deliverance. In the summer of 82, nearly stepped on a 6-foot rattlesnake. I mean, my foot was over it, Pastor. My two younger brothers had walked right by it picking blackberries up in the mountains. And in August, they tell me they're blind and they strike everything. And little brother Chad went and little brother Jason, and it was in the middle of the path. And my foot had hit the ground, and the other foot was on it. And in midair, an angel just stopped me and held that thing right there. I don't know if that had killed me or not. If it had struck a blood vein, it could have killed me. If it had got in an artery right there, it could have went straight to my heart. And we just had a friend of ours in the Florida swamps last week, burying a 4-year-old boy from a rattlesnake bite last week. Out in the garden with his daddy. And that thing bit him in the arm and the little fella died. And he died. And in that same summer, all right, I nearly stepped on that snake. And God stopped me in midair and threw me backwards.
Thank you, Lord.
Went backwards. And that same summer of 82, Daddy took a church down in Cleveland, Tennessee, the Moonshiners, on Buck's Pocket Road down there across from Crazy Corner. And all them rooster fighters and moonshiners. And the day before we moved in, the night before we moved in, they didn't know if it was in there or not. 6 high-powered rifle bullets shot through that parsonage that we picked up and moved in there and sat down. And in the same summer, Mama bringing chicken, fried chicken and banana pudding to the work day at the same little church, trying to get doors and windows on it. And you're supposed to bring fried chicken and nanner pudding. You don't bring wheat grass and tofu and barley grass. Amen. Amen. Don't bring electrolyte water. Bring sweet tea. Strong. With lots of sugar. Amen. You ought to be able to pour it out like molasses. Give me some help right there. Amen. And somebody give us a Volkswagen. The tires were bald. And we was so poor. And coming around the curve there, and all of a sudden, a rain squall. Mama and me, there's six of us kids, and little brother Jason in the back seat. And we hit that sudden rain, and immediately hydroplaned, and 12 feet through the air. And right now, I can see the dead corn stalks and the earth rushing up to us. And I shouldn't have been here. Three times the lion and the bear tried to kill me that summer. I was front seat in the Volkswagen holding the dash. Shouldn't have had arms. My head should have been through it. All I can tell you, that thing hit and crashed and rolled and tore up half that cornfield and was worse than a crushed can. And all I can tell you is I was laying on Mama and we was laying between the seats. And little brother somehow was standing up on the highway just standing. I said, that's the only thing he knows. And by the way, he's a pastor in Virginia tonight. And said he's standing on the highway. It's the only thing he knows, he is standing on the highway. The only thing he knows, he was standing on the highway. He said, when the thing quit rolling, all he knows, he is standing on the highway. And that thing was 50 yards away. And I was laying on Mama, and we crawled out and stood up and walked away. You ain't hearing me. Took us all to the emergency room, turned us loose 10 minutes later because they couldn't find nothing wrong with us. All in the same summer. Oh, by the way, was the same summer that he came by my way and tapped me on the shoulder. And the Holy Ghost introduced me to the Lord Jesus that summer of 82, thank God. That lion and that bear, before I even got started. Can any of y'all remember? What if we just stopped and took testimonies of how the devil tried to destroy your life with sin and with death before you even got started? Oh my. I'm talking about they tried to kill him, the roaring and the wrath. And then, look what he faced. And then his family. The lion roared and the bear was wrath, but here the family was rejection. Samuel the prophet went down there to Jesse's house and said, God sent me down here for a king. And his father didn't even put him in the lineup. Left him out back there by himself. Said, let's let him babysit the sheep. Here's my fine boys. Y'all ain't helping me. Anybody here know anything about family rejection? Anybody here know anything about a father's rejection? Anybody here know anything about the family leaving you out there alone by yourself? I'm talking about in his beginnings. Amen. Samuel looked them boys up and down and said they look good on the outside, but God don't judge things on the outward appearance. He ain't impressed with height and he ain't impressed with stature. Said God looketh on the heart. And the annual prophet said, I'm a smell of the king around here, but it ain't one of these pretty boys. And they said, well, we do got one. He's the baby and he's the runt and he's out there. And we didn't even bother to bring him in here and show him off. He said, fetch him out for me. And God said, he's the one. Some of you, your family tried to leave you out. Y'all ain't helping me. Your family tried to leave you out. Thank God. In our teen camp last week, a little girl come up, precious girl named Samantha. She come up there and got weeping and broken. I thought God just saved her, but she'd already been saved. She's so broken. She said, God brought me to the camp this week, and now God's called me to be a missionary tonight. She said, and He's even told me I'm going to the Honduras. And that pastor came up an hour later and said, you don't even know. That little girl was literally thrown out by her own family, cast out bodily, and said that one of our older women in our church working with the foster kids, picked her up, made her one of her own, took her in, raised her, and she's come to our church and got saved. And now God's laid His hand on her right up here. Oh, thank God. So I want to thank God tonight that the enemy didn't kill me in my beginnings. Moving on, number two. The enemy that tried to kill him in his battles. All right, there's four of them right here. You know that God then moved David into the throne room playing the harp. And he became a great warrior and a great soldier. After he killed Goliath, he became a great warrior and a great soldier. And he's gone on up there, and here he becomes a soldier. And so this thing starts out before he kills Goliath. There's four enemies that he had to deal with as a soldier. God had told David, you take cheese to the captain and bread to the brethren and take it down to the battle. Brother Lawson, as an evangelist, God had me a little flock from age 21 to 29. But God pulled me out of the flock and said, "You take cheese to the cat." Cheese was the cream of the that was delicacy. That was good stuff. And the Lord's for the last 16 years had me carrying cheese to the captains. And if I can come in a revival meeting and give something special to that preacher, and then give bread to the brethren. That's bread to the brethren. And then if I can kill a giant that's cussing down there while I'm there in that meeting, that'll be good too. Y'all didn't hear me now. And if I can kill a giant while I'm there that week, that'll be good too. Hallelujah to God. That's been my call on my life the last 16 years. Amen. Now, Brother Lawson, he's an old and a great man of God. But I'm going to tell you something. I go down in many of these meetings. It'll be a young pastor without any heritage. A lot of them without any experience. Or it'll be a weak pastor under great attack. Or it'll be a confused man. Or it'll be a man with no direction. Or it'll be a man in great distress. And how many times God just let me minister to that pastor.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
And just be a sounding board. He can't tell his wife what's going on at the church. He don't want her to hating people. He can't tell her everything. What she hears is bad enough. And he can't talk to his deacons. Half of them's the one trying to kill him. And he can't talk to any friends in town. They'll tell somebody who'll tell somebody who'll tell somebody. But that evangelist can come into town with a heart for the church, and that man can pour his heart out. And what they'll do is talk to me for 2.5 hours, and I'll just be a sounding board. And they'll say, and I'll say, oh my, yes sir, that's right, oh I'm sorry. And just say stuff like for 2.5 hours. And then when they get done, they say, thank you, Brother Dean, you really helped me. Oh, what wisdom you got and what power you got. I'm a new man. And I'll say, thank you. I'll send you a bill right there. Whatever you was going to give the psychiatrist, she just passed it on to me. And all I did was say, and oh my. Because God's men are under attack. But if I can get some cheese to that captain and strengthen and delight his soul and get bread to the brethren and kill some heathen giant that's standing there in front of that church not letting them go forward. Help me now. Oh my. And so there he goes. Now he's got four enemies. First he has Eliab. And then he has Goliath. Then he has a whole nation of Philistines. And then he has a jealous king. Y'all want to talk about it for a minute? All right, we've seen the enemies the shepherd boy had. Let's see what kind of enemies the soldiers had. By the way, let's mention this. Time for some of y'all to step up and no longer be a shepherd boy, but come on and be a soldier man. When I was a child, I spake as a child, thought as a child, understood as a child, heard as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Paul said in Hebrews 5, said we need somebody to run this instead of a bunch of kindergartners. Time for you to do the teaching. Instead, you need to be taught again. Help me now. And so God's moving him out of the little flock and putting him in the big fight. He's leaving the little flock and he's going to the large fight. Look, the first enemy is his brother, Eliab. If you're chasing down references tonight, Eliab's in chapter 17, verse 28. And there, brother, David says, "Here, captain, here's your cheese. Here, brethren, in the battle, here's your bread." And then he says, "I got to go back and take care of the sheep, but who is that? Blaspheming my precious Lord." We need something in our soul that says, who is, especially in this nation, in this hour, with everything Hollywood's doing, everything the politicians are doing, everything that these compromising apostate churches are doing, somebody ought to get fired up and say, who is that blaspheming my precious Lord? Don't make me chase that rabbit. I'm trying to preach 10 little sermons. Who is that blaspheming my dear God, my precious Savior, my blessed Lord? And Eliab, who may have been a little jealous because he got passed over back there at the lineup. Some of y'all, God can't use you because you're too big for your britches. I said, some of y'all can't use you because you're a spoiled, whiny baby and you think you deserve everything. Is that too hard, Pastor? Some of you might have, honey, you stand there like Eliab. You're so proud of how, proud of being and everybody, your golden child and pretty boy and firstborn. Help me now. Some of you country mamas need to back off and let your husband discipline that child. I almost said something, but I didn't say that. He might ought to give you a whooping before that, but that's the part I shouldn't have said. Honey, some of you country mamas need to back off and let your husband discipline them children. And there's Eliab. And he's a step. And he gets in David's face and he says to David, "You're naughty, you're proud. Get back to the house. You don't belong here." Let me tell you something, brother. Ain't you glad David went around him? David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause?" And I'm going to say this and move on. Y'all better help me. If he'd have fought his brother, there'd have never been one of the greatest Bible stories ever. That's been preached around the world and taught in Sunday school and every other Bible lesson. I'm glad it is a story of David and Goliath, not David and Eliab. And some of you, they're going to have to etch on your tombstone, David and Eliab. All you ever fought was your brother. Now, Brother Lawson, I know you don't know anything about this. Because, I mean, you're not a real well-known preacher. They've been listening to me on the internet, as it turns out. If there's somebody here for the first time, I am teasing. The church understands. But, Brother Lawson, there's something about when God anoints you and raises you up. These people that are jealous and they want to kill you. Joseph. What about God laid his hand on it and them brethren wanted to kill him? I'm going to tell y'all something. I need what Joseph had. He said when he did have an opportunity to get revenge on them brothers, he didn't. He wept. He embraced them. He kissed them. And they said, "Please don't kill us." He said, "I'm not in the place of God." He said, "You meant it against me for evil, but God meant it for good. And I don't want to spend my life fighting my brothers, my sisters, my fellow laborers." And I don't care who's coming against you in jealousy and judgmentalism. Eliab said, you're naughty and you're proud. And the truth was, Eliab was naughty in his heart. And he was proud of his height and stature. And generally, whatever people are accusing you of is what's happening in their heart. To the pure, all things are pure. To the defiled, everything's defiled. And the pure man looks at a bad man and just thinks he's okay. Because he's pure. But a wicked man looks at a pure man and thinks that pure man's wicked as he is. Oh, he wouldn't fight his brother. He went on and fought the giant. And he went down there and he fought that giant. And I love how he fought Goliath down there. I mean, brethren, he went down there and faced Goliath and he come against him. And I just love how he came in the name of the Lord. Now, I scribbled this down last week. It's the first time I've ever preached this message. And I scribbled it. It was amazing. What verse is that? When he killed that giant. In verse 40. The Holy Ghost alliterated this thing. Here's the only thing he took to kill the giant. He took a staff. It's in verse 40 of Samuel 17. And he chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook, and he put them in a shepherd's bag. And then all he had was a sling in his hand. Now, we ain't got time for another sermon in here tonight. But if you're going to kill a giant, I think I know what you're supposed to take. Any of y'all got any giants in your life? You better bring a staff. You better pick up some stones. You need to have a shepherd's bag. And all you need is that sling. Turns out that's all you need to kill a giant. That staff. You think we can preach an hour and a half sermon in 30 seconds? You get a second sermon. I want 2 love offerings tonight, Pastor. That grieved all these boys over here, but the pastor said it was okay. All of you over here. He said it was okay. Watch this. Watch this. Y'all help me with this later, because it's the first time I've ever... That staff. That's all you need. Because see, little Moses standing down there going to overthrow the world empire. And he said, I ain't got nothing here but a rod in my hand. And the Lord said, that'll be fine. You hold your end by faith. I'll hold the other end with my power. We'll curse the Nile River, confuse Pharaoh's magicians, cross the Red Sea, and overthrow the world empire, Pharaoh and Egypt. It's all you need. What is that in thine hand? And then what about them stones? What about them stones? 5 smooth stones. Them are amen. I don't know what all that means, but I know they'd been down in that water, and the water had been running over them, and had all the rough edges off of them. And God can't use people till they've been in the water of the Word. And yet down that rushing, raging river, that, and God knocking all your rough edges off. Amen. And so smooth stones. And he put them in a shepherd's bag. A shepherd's bag. I don't know what to say about that. Except I want to be where the shepherd keeps things. Y'all didn't hear me. See, y'all ain't know what a shepherd is. You looking at me? Got that 21st century remote control religion every Sunday morning. You ain't got no pastor. You ain't got no church. Where are you going to find him? Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Yeah. Follow the footsteps of the flock down there by the shepherd's tents. You're going to find him with the shepherds. Woo! I want to be in that local church where the shepherd's in charge. Amen. One old boy preached on them 4 smooth stones laying in that bag that God didn't use. He said, but at least you got picked up out of the creek. He said, at least you got picked up out of the horrible pit, the miry clay. He said, at least you know what it is to be in the shepherd's hand. And he said, at least you're in the shepherd's bag. And at least you knew what it was like when that hand reached in there and picked out one of you. All of you felt his hand. And then that giant had four brothers, didn't he? Maybe them boys got in the accident after a while, after all. Then what about that? All right, that 30 seconds is actually like 150 seconds. And then a sling. Let me tell you, just take whatever you've been using.
Yeah.
Why are you looking at me strange? Didn't you hear the Holy Ghost Blues Boys a while ago singing? With a little yellow neon for an accent. Said, I'll stick with the old stuff. It was an altar where I got saved. It was a King James Bible that held 400 years. Amen. A wooden pulpit, a bloody cross. These contemporary boys hand you all their advice and all their armor. But David said, I'm just going to stick with what I know works. I ain't proved none of these. But I know what works. The blood still works. Thank God. Oh, my. All right, see, now we got to move on here. Eliab, that big brother, you got to go around some enemies. Goliath, you got to go ahead. He just went on down there. Y'all ain't hit. Some things you just got to go on down there.
Yeah.
Y'all stand there waiting on God. God's sitting over there waiting on you. God said, I'll kill the giant, but somebody's got to throw something at him. And I'm wondering about if any of them little old boys had just run out there and tackled him. What if God had said, well, that's one of my little boys. I wonder if anybody could have killed him that day. Oh, I don't know if I'll ever get to the end of this message. Oh, my. Some enemies, you need to go ahead. Some of y'all been looking at some things and letting it laugh at you. Hey, I'm trying to go to this third thing, but y'all won't go nowhere. You just said you won't go, so I guess. Anybody notice the giant didn't kill nobody? He didn't step forward. If he was that big and bad and brave, what's he doing just talking all the time? When I was growing up down there on the ball field, they called it talking trash. And usually old boys talking trash because that's all they could do. The fellow that could tackle you just put you on your rear end. He didn't say nothing about it. He reserved his breath for the second time he's going to knock you on your head. And the fellow that could dunk over you or swat it in the out of bounds when you tried to shoot, he generally didn't say much. He just dunked it and smashed you. The old boy that could do something. Now, I did a lot of trash talking. I whipped 70 fellas without ever touching them. Can I get a witness right there? I'm sorry to shatter your image there, but I was a trash talker. I said, who you think you are? Who's your mama? Who's your mama? Who's your mama? And he'd fake that way, and I'd go for it, and he'd go around me and dunk it. And I'd be like, oh, I sounded stupid. You know, that was pretty bad right there. But it didn't quit me from talking to him the second time because I had more to say. That giant could only talk. He could only taunt. He could only terrify. He could not touch one of them. Because there's a God of Job who says you can go down there and do everything in the world you want to, but you can't touch him. You can't touch him without my permission. I'm going to go on record right here tonight. One of my mentors, old man of God from North Carolina, said there ain't no giant in that Bible ever on record of killing anybody. You can't find where one giant ever, all them giants in the Old Testament, you never seen where they killed one of God's children.
That's right.
But anybody that belonged to God that just took a notion of faith and fight could kill a giant. A little old baby sitting shepherd boy with a little sling and a rock. How about who was that girl's name over there when Deborah was running things and Jael and Sisera, the mighty captain of the host, had that iron bed and he even his legs stuck out over the end of that 10-foot bed. She gave him a bottle of warm milk and took a hammer and a nail and son just nailed his head to the, she nailed it to the ground. Turns out a mama with a milk bottle can kill. Teenage boy with a slingshot, a mama with a milk bottle, and what about old brother Caleb? Caleb and Joshua. Yeah. Give me that mountain. He had to wait 40 years for all the rebels and reprobates to die off. I think he went to every funeral and shouted. God told him, I got to kill this whole generation, and then you two boys are going in. Caleb got up every morning, got his newspaper, read the obituaries, went to the funeral and said, I can't wait for the rest of y'all to get out of the way. Wonder who'll be tomorrow. Hope it's all of you. As he looked at the obits. He was an old man when it come time. Down there, I don't know if he had his strength or not, but God gave him strength. He's an old man, and he chose the biggest mountain with the biggest giants.
Yeah.
The Anakims were the biggest and the most fierce. He said, that's the one I want.
Amen.
Been burying reprobates 40 years. I'm ready to kill something now. Turns out, little teenage boys, mamas with a milk bottle, and elderly men.
With a want to.
Thank you, Brother LeMans. With a want to. Can kill a giant. Oh, my. So, some enemies, you go around. Some enemies, you go ahead. And then I'm going to say this, and I got to say the last two quickly right here in this second point. When he killed that giant, he killed one enemy that didn't even know didn't know who he was. But the moment he killed him and held that head up and he pursued them Philistines out of town, he gained a whole nation of enemies. Help me now. Saul hath slain his thousands. David hath slain his 10,000s. Let me tell you something about becoming a giant killer. The moment early on you kill that giant's head and raise it up, you're gaining about 100,000 enemies. You better get used to fighting. Because you ain't going back to babysitting. You're going into a battle. And all them Philistines come after him. And not a one of them ever killed him.
Not one.
And I just, I'm about to run. Oh, Brother LeMance and my number one fan from Alabama who don't even like to hear Charles Lawson preach. He just wants to hear me preach. That's the way I heard that a while ago. It might be time for us to take a lap. Because I'm remembering it. What preacher, was it Elisha or Elijah who saw Elisha? They smote them heathen with blindness. They come to kill him and they couldn't even find the door. God smote them with blindness. Who is it? Am I getting my stories mixed up? The whole bunch of enemies come down. Was it Syrians to kill Elisha because of the way he'd been preaching? And his servant was all upset. He was looking down at the window. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, help my servant to look up at the window. And when he looked up and he seen the mountains around about were filled with a whole host of fiery horses and fiery chariots. And if I'm remembering my King James Bible, and do you ever figure out them others may be easier to read, but they're impossible to quote? And that King James Bible, people that can't even read can quote them. And he said, there are more that are with us than they that are against us. And I didn't even quote it right. But there's more that's for us than they are against us. And I got news for y'all. We may look like a small ragtag minority outfit, but if God, and we're looking down at the heathen wanting to kill us, but if God could touch your eyes and help you look up, you'd see that there's more with us than they are against us. Jesus on the cross, He could have called 10,000 angels. I love that old song, and I'm not a singer, but that ain't never stopped me from trying. And boy, that chorus is so high. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set Him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but He died alone for you and me. If somebody give me the first line, I bet I could sing the rest of it. Yeah. They bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where He lay. They led Him through the streets in shame. They spat upon my Savior. Sin. Crucify Him. He's to blame. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world. And I'm enjoying my own singing. And set Him free. He could have called 10,000 angels. And He could call that many for me and you at any given moment. But He's just going to let you be there by yourself and fulfill His will and fulfill His word and make a way. And just need y'all to know that any given moment He can call 10,000 angels. For any one of you, while you're hanging on the cross He gave you to carry. But He's got a work for you to do. But Jesus is the only one that can do Calvary's work. But He's got a work for you, and He's got a will for you. Oh, honey. He's got a war for you. And He needs you to finish it. All right. I've been up here 57 minutes. I know there's no time frame, but I'm getting hungry. Can I finish this last one? And that third point, it'll have to come in some time later. When them Philistines, you just needed to go after them. That's what He did. He went after them all them years, cleaning out the Lord's land, killing the heathen out of the country. Hey, y'all, we never need to quit going after the enemy and get them cleaned out of our homeland, our Christian home, our churches, and even our country. God help us. Now, here's the last one for tonight. The enemy tried to kill Him in His beginnings. The lion, the bear, the family rejection. The enemy tried to kill Him in His battles. Eliab, He had to go around. Goliath, He had to go ahead. The Philistines, He had to go after. But there's King Saul now, jealous of this young warrior who's the national hero. And he begins to cast javelins. Saul had already got in trouble and lost his kingdom for disobedience. God said to Samuel, "How long wilt thou mourn after him, seeing I've rejected Saul from being king over Israel? You go down there and anoint that boy." And David had a harp. I'll be done in 3 minutes. It'll feel like 3 minutes to me. David had that harp in his hand in the throne room. Hey, you don't bring swords in the throne room. I need a little help right there. I know most of y'all are white, but you could not act like it, please. I don't know where to find the nearest soul choir. Y'all got to help me. I'm going to say it again. When you're in the throne room of the king, you don't bring your swords in there. You bring your harps. Oh, Saul was jealous. And that evil spirit from the Lord. And he javelin to pin him against the wall more than once. And he even chased him out of there and tried to kill him. And David even, and this is an hour of preaching, but even David then had to go and live in the wilderness in a cave where his own king that he served loyally. And he wouldn't touch God's anointed. David wouldn't. I wonder, Pastor Lawson, why God didn't let nobody else touch David. Because he wouldn't touch God's anointed. And Saul was anointed by the clay vessel made by man. But David was anointed by the horn of oil made by God. And even David wouldn't come against the authority in his life, even though it had gone corrupt. Your parents may be bad, but you're still supposed to obey your parents. Your pastor, and I'm not talking about Brother Lawson, but I'm speaking in general. Your pastor in your life, you may have gone bad, but you still ain't supposed to touch it. And again, I'm not talking about Brother Lawson. Hey, you don't supposed to touch your preachers. You ain't supposed to touch your parents. I tell you something else. You're not supposed to go down to an abortion clinic and shoot the doctor in the head either. That ain't how we fight our battles. We're not supposed to, and I don't even think we're supposed to overthrow the government. Jesus never tried to overthrow Rome. If it did, I'd be up there in the White House right now with several ideas. God didn't put the church here to make all governments pure and perfect. There ain't going to be a government work until the Son of God gets here and sits on the throne. That don't mean we're supposed to obey the laws and kill babies and promote sodomites. We obey God rather than man. And preacher, they tried in the years I pastored. The years I pastored down there, I pastored 20 minutes from Beau Gratz. He was the man they made the Rambo movies about. I thought they made them about Sylvester Stallone. I seen how cut he was, and I did sit-ups for one day, and then I was done with that. But Beau Gratz was on the radio, and in the early 90s, everybody moved to Idaho and Montana, and the militia movement was strong. And I had a man come, and he was one of the best men I had. He wasn't a mean man, but he got sidetracked. He called me a coward and a traitor because I wouldn't secretly dig a bunker under the fellowship hall and fill it with machine guns and green beans. And he said, the revolutionary where he said it was pastor, and he said, you're a traitor. And he was a good man. He was one of the best men I had. He just got sidetracked. Yeah. And he said, if you don't fight to save this country. And he said, the Constitution is my mother and the Bible's my father. And that didn't sound right at all. And I said, I told him, I'll go pray about it. He challenged me. And I went to pray and I got my answer in 3 seconds. The Holy Ghost gave me John 19. Yeah. He said, my servants. If my kingdom was of this, now is my kingdom. I'm trying to quote it. He said, if my kingdom was of this world, then my servants would fight. He said, but my kingdom's not of this world. He said, if it were, my servants would fight. And I went back to him, I held up the Bible. And I said, this is the only spiritual parent I got. And I said, machine guns and cans of green beans stuck under this church ain't what this church is supposed to do for this country. I said, that's funny I can't get you to a prayer meeting. I said, it's funny I can't get you to go tell a sinner about hell, but you won't tell everybody about America going down. I said, I know something of a lot more scarier than America going down. It's sinners going down to hell. I said, notice you ain't got not one burden for a sinner going to hell, but all you worried about is your taxes. And I said, I know you're worried about your freedom. I got news for you. I'm free whether I've got political freedom or not. And I said, last time I checked, the church only did good when they were under great persecution. I said, I'd take one of these Chinese Christians, come up out of a Chinese communism prison, and put them up against 100 Americans who are whining because the waitress didn't refill their tea quick enough. Who are whining because they sang my song, sat in my spot, parked in my place. Didn't pick my daughter, didn't pick my son. Y'all help me now. Fussing and fighting and splitting churches over the goofiest things in the world. I'm telling you, David wouldn't touch the authorities in his life.
That's right. Amen.
He'd never heard him be rebellious against his father for the way his father treated him. He wouldn't even fight his elder brother.
Yeah.
He had that harp. That's how you're going to make it when people over you in authority and people over you in life are trying to kill you because they're jealous of you. That's the only way you're going to make it. You get your harp. Sing your song to God. Keep your heart pure and sweet. Play before the Lord. And don't you pick up a sword when they're trying to, you pick up a harp. I'm closing with this. David never would fight his own battles. He only fought God's. David fought God's battles and God fought David's battles. David said about Saul when they had him in that cave and his men, him and his men were hid in the back of that cave. And his men were, you've got him. God's put him in your hand. Kill him. And all he did was slice a little bit of Saul's skirt off, and then later he apologized for that. He said, I've crossed the line. I shouldn't even cut. I was going to prove to you I could have had you. Hey, y'all, if we got to prove something to somebody, our heart's full of pride. You may be over there and say, I didn't kill you. I could have killed you. And he got that right with God. He said, I shouldn't have even done that. And I'm sorry. Some of y'all are proud because you ain't killed your enemy, but you sliced off his skirt and you're showing everybody on Facebook. Y'all need to pray that I get another belly growl. One more and I'm going to Waffle House. You got to get down there before third shift. Second shift just got out of jail, but third shift just got out of prison, okay? That's it. I take that back, retract it. You know what he did, Brother Lamont? You know what he done?
Yeah.
David said about Saul, let him live. And old Shimei's are casting dirt on him. He's walking out. You know what he said about Absalom? We didn't get that far tonight. You know what he said about Absalom? Let him alone. He's took my throne. He's took my kingdom. He's took my family up there. Let him alone. And old Shimei, the Benjamites are casting dirt and rocks on him and are cursing him. Them mighty men reached in there. David said, let him curse. Let him curse. Woo.
Yeah.
Through your life, you better learn these three things. Let them alone. Let them have my kingdom. If God delights in me, He'll bring me back. If He don't, I didn't deserve to be here in the first place. I said, if He don't, I didn't deserve to be here in the first place. Let Him live. Let Him curse. And God was a rat in every bit of that day. And God killed all of David's enemies. There's three more. There's Absalom and there's Bathsheba. There's Absalom and there's Ishbibenob, the son of the giant with a new sword. But I'm here to tell you tonight, great deliverance. Let's try that again. I'm here to thank God for great deliverance. I was the lamb in the lion's mouth. And he snatched me out. Let's stand. You've been very kind, very patient. Let's stand. Whoever's coming tonight, would you come? Our heads are bowed. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your kindness. Does anybody need to come right now? I mean, we're way behind on...